Dear friends in Jesus Christ, regular maintenance is important. How many of you either change your own car oil or you take your car somewhere to get the oil changed? Okay, so it's a good idea. Or how about, do you go for like regular physical checkups? Like you're not even sick, but you just kind of go every so often to get a regular checkup. Maybe everyone doesn't do that, but it can be a good idea. What about regular spiritual checkups? Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. So the Bible is wanting us to do these regular things. Now imagine someone who never checks their oil. I remember being in college years ago, and there were a couple people sitting near me, and the girl said to the guy, she said, I've had my new car now, and I've put 16,000 miles on it, and it quit running, and I don't know what's wrong with it. And he said to her, have you ever had the oil changed? And she knew nothing about having the oil changed. Now, this is way back a long time ago, when you change your oil about every 3,000 or 4,000 miles. So not a good idea. Or what about somebody who never has a regular physical checkup, and then you're not feeling good, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, but you have stage 4 cancer. Like if you would have been going regular, they probably could have caught it early, and now it's like a long way down the road. Or what about somebody who doesn't do regular spiritual checkups, and at the end of their lives, when it's too late, they find out, oh, I have a hard and unbelieving heart, and I didn't even know it. So those are some of the things we're thinking about today. As we get into our reading here in Hebrews chapter 4, I'll admit right up front, it's not the easiest reading. But with each section I read, I'm going to pick out some key words and just try to make it a little bit more understandable. But the overall thing we're looking at here is we have the people who came out of Egypt, and even though God blessed them so much, the majority of them had hard and unbelieving hearts and did not enter into the promised land. So that's the example that the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't be like them. It can happen so easily, don't be like them. Let's get into our text here. So Hebrews 4, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering God's rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. I think we're all familiar with what happened there at the time of Moses, how, you know, the people had been enslaved for a long time, and then God, through the 10 plagues, he gets Pharaoh to finally let his people go, and then they ended up passing through the Red Sea on dry ground. They go to Mount Sinai, they receive the 10 commandments and many other important things, and then it's time to enter into the promised land. So what do? They send 12 spies into the land, one person representing each of the 12 tribes or each of the 12 sons of Jacob. So they go into the land, they all come back, and they give a report, and they say, wow, this is an amazing land. They have fruit, and they have all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things there. But with two of them, that would be with Joshua and Caleb here, they end up saying, yes, it is wonderful. God is gifting us the land. God will fight for us. Let's go in. God's giving it to us. But what did the other 10 say? The other 10 said, oh no, the people are too big. They're too strong. We can't do it. And sadly, the people sided with the 10. So what did they have? They had hard and unbelieving hearts. God was so disappointed that God said, all of you men 20 years and older, none of you will enter. You're going to die in the wilderness over the next 39 and a half years. Such a sad thing. Well, God doesn't want us to be in that same situation. What about us today? Well, today, the Lord has delivered us through Jesus. So Jesus came, he did a finished work, he lived for us in a way that we can never live. He took our sin, he took God's punishment, he laid down his life, he did it all. However, though, not everyone is going to enter, even though Jesus has made the way for everyone to enter. If anyone has, again, that hard and unbelieving heart, God simply will not let them enter. It's not God's fault. They have rejected God and his Son, and therefore they have excluded themselves. A sad situation. In the second part here, I want to talk a little bit about God's rest. Picking up in verse 3, "For we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For God has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest." That's a tough section of scripture there. There's a lot trying to be said. Let me try to give you at least a little bit of information that makes it understandable. So first of all, what is God's rest through Jesus? Well, right now, with soft and believing hearts, right now we have rest because in Jesus we have the forgiveness of our sins. We know there is peace between us and God. And then we know something much greater is coming. When we finally leave this life, then we will have the fullness of eternal life. So it's a wonderful thing to have this rest through Jesus. And then we think about two categories here. Of course, the categories would be, one category, people have hard and unbelieving hearts. What is the problem with such people? It's not that they haven't heard. The problem is, when they heard, they did not believe. They refused to believe. They wanted to hang on to their own life the way it is. They wanted to hang on to their sins. They did not want God to work a change in their lives. And then the other category, it's not because we are somehow better people, but it's only by the grace of God that God has gotten a hold of us. God has taken our heart of stone and he has made it a heart of flesh. And God has given us that gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus for heaven. And then it talked about here how his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, somebody might say, oh, those people didn't enter a long time ago. They didn't enter into the promised land because it wasn't ready yet. That's why they didn't enter. Maybe somebody might think about it like this and say, when you build a building, you have to have it inspected and approved. You have to get an occupancy permit before you can occupy the building. Maybe someone would say, oh no, they didn't have hard and unbelieving hearts. The promised land just wasn't ready yet. Well, we should never think that something isn't ready. For example, with our salvation, God knew, even before creation, God knew that we would all be poor, miserable sinners. God knew that we would all exclude ourselves from being with God forever. And God knew that he would send his Son, and he knew all that he would do in order to open the way for everyone. So we can't use that excuse. Instead, God wants us to think about his promises like this and understand that whatever promises God has made, they are as good as done, even if God has not yet followed through on them. Now, with thousands of promises, God has made them, God has followed through already, but there are some yet to be fulfilled. Can we be absolutely certain that according to God's timing, they will be fulfilled? Yes, by all means. Let us have full confidence in what God will do. And then, so sadly, they shall not enter. Well, God made the way for all, but for those who end up with these hard and unbelieving hearts, and they have excluded themselves. So sad. Then in the next section here, we come to the topic of today. The Bible says, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, God again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I have this idea here coming to my mind. So for every person in the world, time never stops, but time just keeps marching on. And maybe we could think about the idea of a window, an open window, and that window is the window of salvation. And it's open for everyone through Jesus, but as time goes on, the window is closing and closing and closing. In other words, time is running out. God wants us to understand that there is going to come a day for everyone where, like today, the window is still open a little bit. The next day, the window is closed. No more opportunity. So God is emphasizing here this idea of today. He wants people to have this sense of urgency. He wants them to understand it is so critical that today, let us receive from God this true godly sorrow. And today, let us receive from God that gift of faith by which we are trusting alone in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and for our entrance into heaven. In the fourth part here, going to the topic of rest, we pick up in verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. In other words, the promised land, I mean, this was an amazing gift that God was giving them, but that was not the end-all promised land. The end-all promised land is to be with God forever and ever. So the promised land was pointing to the ultimate promised land. And then the text says, for the one who has entered God's rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. So jumping back to what happened to many of the Israelites, God is saying, don't let that happen to you. They heard, but they did not believe. Let's not be like them. Let's make sure we have those soft and believing hearts. So on the topic of rest here, if we think about God's rest, we could say that God created all things in 6 days, then he rested on the seventh. That's where we get our 7-day week from. Jesus' rest, well, what did Jesus do? He is the Son of God. He puts on flesh. He lives a perfect life for us. He receives our sins and punishment. He lays down his life on Good Friday. And what did his body do on Holy Saturday? He rested. What about for us? How do we think about rest? Well, with soft and believing hearts, having been given those blessings from God, with soft and believing hearts, we're no longer worried. We're no longer struggling. Am I okay? How are things going to turn out? But rather, we are resting in Jesus. We know who he is. We know what he did. And we have God-given faith in him. So we are resting. We are at peace. We even have joy in our hearts, knowing that one day we are going to be with God. And then I wanted to mention here, it's a little bit of a separate topic, but it's related. So some people might say, well, wait a minute now, Pastor, if we're just resting in Jesus and we're forgiven and we're on our way to heaven and all of that, why should we even read our Bible, or why should we come to church, or why should we help our neighbor, or all that kind of stuff? Why should we do that stuff? Well, I like what my home congregation pastor told me decades ago. He said that when we think about living as Christians and we think about all the good things we do as Christians, all of that is like us day by day writing this long thank you letter to God, thanking him for having sent his son, thanking him that we have the promise of heaven, thanking him for all the blessings that he showers upon us. And then finally, the last part here, God is all-knowing. Let's have no doubt about it. Notice what it says. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, or we could say, with him whom we must give account. In other words, the Holy Spirit, as he works through the Word of God, he is showing us every thought that we have, and he's showing us whether that thought is in agreement with God or in disagreement with God. And then he's even getting to the intentions of our thoughts. Oh, I'm thinking this thought, and then God even knows why we are thinking that thought. There's absolutely nothing hidden from God. And really, what does it all boil down to? God knows very well, with every person in the whole world, God knows right this moment who has that hard and unbelieving heart. And God knows who has that soft and believing heart. Thinking about those two things, let us pray. Lord, we know that soft and believing is critical. It is critical now. It is critical today. It is critical to the end of our lives. For all who have soft and believing hearts, even us, keep us in that way. And then for all who are in the other category, for all who have hard and unbelieving hearts, we pray that you would touch them powerfully. We pray that you would open their minds and hearts to the truth. We pray that you would save them. We pray that you would do that for them today. And we pray that you would do that for them always. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.